International.
Ici Radio-Canada. This is Canada.
This is Radio Nederland, the Dutch World Broadcasting System in Hilversum, Holland.
You're tuned to Swiss Radio International in Bern.
This is Free China as a presentation of the Voice of Free China, the international service of the Broadcasting Corporation of China.
This is Radio Havana, Cuba.
Broadcasting from Cuba, free territory in the Americas.
This is Radio South Africa.
This is Yugoslavia Radio Belgrade calling.
This is Israel broadcasting from Jerusalem.
This is Radio Pyongyang of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea.
This is the General Overseas Service of the BBC.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Media Network Plus from PCJ Radio International. It's very nice to have you with us today. Today, of course, we're talking about a radio career of a man that people outside of China may have never heard about, but he has had an audience larger than that of Howard Stern and the late Casey Kasem combined. He was born in Detroit in the United States, started his radio career in the late 70s in Florida, made his way to Hawaii, then in the early 80s made his way to Taiwan, then Hong Kong, where he did both radio and television, and then Shanghai and Beijing in China. He was a guest on the program a couple of years ago, about 7 years ago, after he wrote a book called Radio Chopsticks. I had a pleasure to work with this guy, good friend of mine actually, in fact, for a number of years at China Radio International. We decided to bring him back for an interview because in the next issue of the Spectrum Monitor, there's going to be a whole feature section about this guy. His name is Rick O'Shea, and he joins us on the line now from Beijing. Rick, you've had a very interesting career. Now, as you know, of course, we are in Taiwan. Was your idea when you came to Taiwan just to stay in Asia for a couple of years?
No, my idea was to stay for 1 year.
For 1 year?
Yeah, I had a 1 year contract and I thought maybe I'll go for 2 years. But in fact, I had a job offer in Hong Kong.
And how long have you been in Asia now?
more than 30 years. Actually, more than half my life so far.
So you went then from Taiwan to Hong Kong, which then was still a British colony. Mm-hmm. What was it like working in radio then? Because Hong Kong has an amazing radio history.
It was very cool because I worked on an AM station on commercial radio. I worked there for about 11 years. And then after that, I went to the new FM bilingual station, which was much better because it wasn't all English. It was half and half English and Chinese. So we were entering the main market, and it's kind of fun to be in the main market rather than the fringe market, which only English radio is and was in Hong Kong.
You spent 15 years in Hong Kong. And then you ended up in China. Was your plan just to visit all the major centers in Asia? What was going on here?
I never had a plan to move to the mainland at all. It was never anything that I considered. But one day, a guy said, you know, we have a program on the mainland. And it's made in Hong Kong. But we're now going to make it in Shanghai. So, do you want to move to Shanghai and move away from Hong Kong? And that program was Joy FM, a bilingual program that was on every night. And I accepted the offer because the station I had worked at in Hong Kong was turning into a financial station. So they were taking away the music and the bilingual approach. So it was the perfect time to leave Hong Kong. But it was an offer that was made to me over dinner one night. And that's how I ended up on the mainland. It was not something I ever thought about, ever.
Now, you did Joy FM for a very long time. And, you know, I was talking recently with a radio programmer in Kitchener, Ontario. And I said, you know, you could be doing a radio show in China and have maybe 5 million listeners. which in China is considered a small audience.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Which is considered a small audience. I mean, Joy FM, it's amazing when we worked together at China Radio International, and I spent 8 years in Beijing. I was impressed at how many people knew Joy FM.
Well, you know, when you're here and when you do a program that really fits the market and leads the market, then you've got something special. And we tried for that. Well, there was a purpose. We actually wanted to do that. We weren't just filling space in between songs. We wanted people to have something fresh, new, creative, and innovative. And I think that's where we brought it during the 11 years that I was on Joy FM. And amazingly, it was on every single night. How many radio programs are on every night?
And that's seven days a week.
Yeah, you know, I think give the audience a break, man. It's nice to come back on Monday and say, well, I had a great weekend. Let me tell you about it. But it was on continuously for 11 years, every single night. So, you know, new things in radio, and they don't do things the same here as they might somewhere else.
You know, we work together at CRI, just like I mentioned. And a question that's asked me quite often, people have said, what was it like working at China Radio International? Usually when they ask that question, I go, I take a deep breath. And I say, okay, what you are about to hear can only happen in China. I mean, you know, we had some great times when we were there.
Keith, those were the good days. I mean, I have to tell you the truth, that when you were there and I was there and Paul and Tina, that we actually had a group of people, and including Wang Lu and Yuan Yuan, we had a group of people who actually, it felt like a real radio station. It didn't feel like one person goes in and one person goes out and you never communicate. Mm-hmm. So we actually had that bond, and I think that was kind of cool. When you can create that with a radio station, the radio station becomes a more powerful station.
Hey Rick, yep. Are you moving around?
Nope.
Okay, because the signal just got a little bit wonky.
Okay, sorry. Let me say that again.
Yeah, start again from the beginning, yeah.
Okay. What we had in those days, Keith, you were there during the good days. I think there was a time period when we actually did sound like a real radio station communicating with each other, and very different than a radio station that is different every air shift. We sounded like we were together. We had fun together. And I think that's what people can really relate to. When you have a radio station without fun, why would you tune in? So we actually had that camaraderie. Is that the word? We were like friends, and it sounded like it. And I think that's what the strength was in those days. And those were good days of radio. I really enjoyed those.
One of the things that I was amazed about, and this is what I tell people today, of every radio station that I've been at, I have to say the time that I was at CRI on the domestic service, something that I never experienced there was battle of egos.
Right.
We didn't have that. We actually were all friends.
Exactly. And that's when it really works. It's not like one guy separated from other people. Yeah, the ego thing, I've never really been into ego radio. And I know all about it, but the fact that we did get along and we did have fun, and when we went to do some appearances here and there, I think people could feel that. And, you know, radio is based on, there's a certain amount of feeling that comes out of the radio. And that was a good time. Those were really good times. And your part, your contribution was incredible. I wrote about it in my book.
Oh, really? Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I did. Actually, because you are a radio person and your musical knowledge is incredible. And I loved it when you used to challenge me and I could actually get some of the answers.
Well, you know,
it's... You would come up with things sometimes like, man, you're really checking, you're really pushing me on this one, and if I had the answer correctly, okay, good, got that.
Well, you know what's funny, and I was thinking about this recently, I was amazed at how much on-air time I was. I mean, I was doing 3 hours in the afternoon, I was doing 2 hours on Saturday night, and then another 2 hours on Sunday night, and I'm going, holy cow, how did I do this?
I don't know how I did 4,100 programs in a row every day.
Mm.
Every day.
I remember when there was one week that you went away, and because at CRI, this is something that people don't know. At CRI, if you were a host and you went away, you normally had to pre-record all your shows, which is silly if you're going away for 1 month.
Yeah.
Because at the time, CRI when we were recording shows, it was all on DAT.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember there was one week that you went away and I sat in for you on Joy FM. And I have to tell you, I almost pissed in my pants the first time we did the show. I was so nervous doing that show.
But I think it's cool. I think because I heard you. I mean, I heard the recordings of it. And basically, it sounds so good when you're on the radio and says, "Hi, I'm Keith, filling in for Rick." It's fun.
Well, the show was fun to do, but I remember we at the time we're not going to mention any names, but Wang Lu Jade, who was your co-host for many years, she left, and at that time you had a new co-host, and I remember thinking to myself, oh my God, this I'm not going to mention her name, but she drove me nuts.
Her name didn't happen to start with a C, did it?
Yes, it did, but it's not. But it's not a four-letter word. It should be, right. But it's not. But she drove me nuts, and I, you know, one of the things, you know, that I think you and I can both relate on, because we talk about every time we talk about the odd personalities that pass through CRI. I mean, both of us were strange anyway, but there were people that made us look normal.
Yeah, right.
There was an American guy, I remember, who I believe is still in Beijing. I think you know who I'm talking about. His initials are AS.
Oh, yes.
And I remember on one occasion when I almost got into a fist fight with him in the studio, and you were looking through the glass on the other side.
I was taking bets. I wanted to see who the winner would be.
I mean, there were some very strange people that passed through there, weren't there?
Sure. And there was a guy in the morning from New Zealand, and he lasted for a short period of time. I run into him every now and then. And yeah, there's some strange, but I mean, radio has strange people in and out. It's like, can you harness the strange and make it interesting? That's what radio is all about. It's not, can you just go in and be strange? Anybody can be strange. Can you harness it and make it attractive? Whoa, is this really this is a really good radio thing, huh?
Well,
That's really what it's all about.
I remember when we had a new program director that came in. And he was coming up with names because initially it was just called the CRI Domestic Service, and then it became CRI Music. And I remember sitting down with him, and he was coming up with names for and slogans for CRI Music. And one of them that he said was, and I'm not kidding, he said, "CRI Music, your gay radio station." But he meant gay as happy.
Yeah. Well, and I worked with a guy, and it's in my book. I worked with a guy in Taiwan, and his name was James, but he took the Hawaiian name of Kimo, which is a very common name in Hawaii. And since he had come from there, and he kind of like tried to retain that Hawaii spirit, I guess, and he was a guy who was really into information, but his presentation was very flat. But he would... he had a section of one of his programs, and I forgot what it was even about, but I heard it and I had to take him into another room, and I said, "Kimo, I have to do you a favor. Please don't call that segment in your program what you're calling it, because I don't think this is going to be very attractive." And that segment was called Chemotherapy. A cure for a treatment for cancer is what you're calling your segment on your program? Are you crazy, man? So, yeah, I had to definitely say, "Kimo, I'm doing you a favor. Call it something else. Call it Kimo's Corner. Don't call it Chemotherapy." Oh, my God.
I remember another funny incident. Every year, the Chinese Communist Party, they have a big meeting. And I remember CRI used to get these memos from the State Administration of Film, Radio, and Television. Mm-hmm. And our program director, I remember before I was about to go on the air in the afternoon, he said, "Oh, remember, you don't talk about it and everything else." And, I mean, I have a little bit of chutzpah every now and again, or guts, you know. And I said, "You know, I think I'm going to play a song." So I chose the song "Get the Party Started" by Pink. And on air, I said, "And now we dedicate this to all the... Communist Party delegates who are in Beijing, who are getting the party started." Here's pink. And the thing is, nobody noticed.
Yeah, well, there was one song. There was one song, actually, they would sell some time to some people who were advertising. You remember those sponsors?
Oh, God, those. Oh, my,
your program?
Yes.
And you were yelling out against them on the radio. And there was one song that they played, and I have a recording of this song, and I never heard the F word. I think it's about 50 times in the song, and nobody complained except for one girl who was actually on the staff. She said, "Are you kidding? Who's going to okay that song on the radio?" And it played, and I've got a recording of it. It's great.
And nobody noticed.
Oh,
the,
yeah,
the people that were supposed to notice didn't.
Well, they were the geniuses who were putting money into the station, and they made their own program, like between 5 and 6, and they said, well, we don't care. It was great. But yeah, there's all kinds of stories like that.
The other thing that I found quite fascinating was the audience that we had.
Absolutely.
They were
incredible.
Such an amazing audience. I mean, there were some wackos. I remember one girl who would send naked pictures of herself.
Zorana. Yeah, I had a few of those.
Zorana.
Okay, and I had different names with the ones that sent to me. But yeah, it's kind of, you know, we pray for this, God, you know, really, you know, we pray for this when we're on the radio. But come on, somebody send me a picture other than your face sitting on a bridge.
a radio guy that I spoke to a long time ago, I asked him, why did you go into radio? And his answer was short and sweet. And he said, my reason to get into radio was to get laid.
Of course. Because in the old days, people thought that's what really happened. But the fact is, when you go into a radio station, you're talking to a piece of metal.
Mm. And you know what's interesting about radio, Rick, is, you know, unlike television and radio, you can have somebody that has, let's say, a voice like Shadow Stevens, okay?
Yep.
But they could be short, fat, and bald.
Of course.
Isn't that
classic stories. Classic stories like that. That's what it's all about. It's like the expression, you've got a great face for radio.
Exactly. Let's move on to the book. You've come out with a book.
It's coming out soon. Yep.
Of course, a lot of the stuff that we talked about is probably in the book. What possessed you to write this book? Did you feel that, you know, did you wake up and say, you know, I think this would be an interesting read?
Actually, I've been writing it for years, bits and pieces of it, but I finally got down to writing the whole thing about a year ago. And it's just my radio. It's my story. It's actually not a radio book, but there's a lot of radio in it. But it's about a Detroit suburban guy going through different phases of life. At one point, I was a painter in the street, and then I got into radio, which was audio painting, and then making the book, which is writing with words, actually. And I wrote a movie screenplay that I'm talking to people about, and that's a part of my book. So basically, I just thought this is it's an interesting read, for sure, because so many people have regular lives. And I think when you have an unusual life, it's worth writing about. And there's a section in there that will really appeal to the Chinese. So that's kind of interesting to see what will happen with that, and deals with a Taiwan writer.
If we're not going to mention the name because we want people to read the book, but does her first name begin with the letter E?
Yeah, her English name.
Her English name.
Many of the Chinese don't know. I can tell you who it is. It doesn't matter because the story's going to get out anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So when people read about it, they're quite shocked because they didn't know that she had this relationship that went like a period of 10 years. And in the end, it was a romantic story, and in the end, she dies. So actually, she's still one of the most widely read Chinese writers, but she only writes in Chinese. She only wrote in Chinese, but mm-hmm. she died 20 years ago.
But she lived also in Spain, right?
She lived in Spain. She spoke Spanish fluently. She lived. She spoke German.
Yeah, her name.
German.
Her English name is Echo. And
Echo. Yeah.
One of her famous stories called "The Olive Tree" became a hit for a Taiwan singer by the name of Chi Yu.
Of course, there's an album of Chi Yu. Chi Yu wrote. Well, that's very good. You did your research. Chi Yu did an album with another singer, and they sang songs that Sama wrote.
I have the album. I have the album,
really?
And
so
we'll take
I.
a listen
Amazing.
To it. It is a fantastic album.
And actually,
just recently, Rick, actually, you might find this interesting. In the city of Taichung, there was an exhibition of Echo's work, including artifacts that she had in her home and everything. And they set up part of the museum, just like her apartment was in Taipei. Absolutely fantastic. I mean, here, when I mention that name to Chinese people, to Taiwanese, they go, wow, you know her. Of course I do.
Oh, yeah. And in fact, if you tell them that you know the guy that she was with before she died, they'll be amazed that I actually knew her and knew her for many years. And we were talking marriage. And that's in her words. Written down.
To find out the rest, actually, you'll have to check out the book. What is the book called?
The book in English is called Radio Chopsticks.
Radio Chopsticks. And who's the publisher?
The publisher is going to be China Radio and Television University Press. The publisher is going to be, I'm going to put it out as an ebook.
Okay.
So Radio Chopsticks will be an ebook, but there's a Chinese translation that comes out, should be out in October or November. And we're not sure of the Chinese name for that yet. There's going to be the Chinese version and a paperback, but I'm really an ebook fan, so I want to get it out to the rest of the world by ebook. It'll be Radio Chopsticks with an X, not CKS.
Rick, thank you very much for joining us.
That's it? Man, I think we still have another hour or two on this on this radio program, don't we? Now, I just want to say something. You know, for me, you know, to maintain certain friendships that we do along the way, there are definitely people that I've worked with, and we've maintained some great friendships, although we're all separated pretty much by distance. But it's kind of cool, isn't it, to be able to speak to people that we worked with and had a good time with and actually contributed something to the radio atmosphere around the world. So what you're doing right now, it's amazing, Keith, that you stayed in it, and you've got these, you're expanding, and that's what radio is all about. Every radio person wants to expand. And so I really respect it. I think it's very cool what you're doing. And myself, I don't know if I, you know, for me, I'm taking a break from radio because I got into my writing. And when people find out about the movie that I wrote, I'm talking to producers about that. So it's kind of nice to be into a new field. So I'm always doing different things, but they are really based on marketing and reaching people. So it's kind of cool. It's great to talk to you, man. Good to see that you're still in it and still adding something to radio. I like it.
And that was just a little bit of my conversation with Rick O'Shea, who has been working in radio for a number of years. He's doing other things now. But his book, Radio Chopsticks, absolutely fantastic. And if you read the book, and one thing you realize, of course, a lot of radio people change their names. It's actually not his real name. I'm not going to say it here because I want you to go and get the book to see if you can find out what it is, because his real name isn't much of a radio name. That's the only thing I will say. Now, the interview that we did together was rather long, but it will be made available this week at our Patreon page, the full unedited version, so you'll also hear the bloopers that took place during the recording of that interview. So do go and check it out, patreon.com/PCJ Radio. You are listening to Media Network Plus, coming to you from PCJ Radio International.
The Spectrum Monitor is a monthly electronic magazine covering shortwave, amateur radio, scanning, satellites, Wi-Fi, and vintage radio, which is available for any device capable of opening a PDF file.
Category 105, which is fitted to total journal.
The Spectrum Monitor also covers amateur radio satellites, maritime and military monitoring on shortwave, reviews of receivers, scanners, and software used for shortwave, and more. Annual subscriptions for 12 issues is only $24, with individual monthly issues available for $3 each. If you're already a subscriber, you can renew your subscription by clicking on the Sign Up for 2015 button. MasterCard, Visa, Discover, and PayPal are accepted. For more details, visit our website at www.thespectrummonitor.com.
And by the way, in the next issue of the Spectrum Monitor, which is coming out November the 1st in a couple of days, you can read a whole feature article about Rick O'Shea, about the guest that we had today, which includes information that we didn't include, including a lot of rare and never seen before photographs. All right. Let's now turn our attention to propagation, what's been happening and what we can expect. Here's our own propagation expert, Glenn Hauser.
Keith from Space Weather Services Australia, the global HF propagation forecast through October 28th. Normal at low latitude bands, normal to fair at middle and high latitudes. From Space Weather South Africa through October 28th, magnetic conditions unsettled to active, shortwave fadeouts unlikely, MUF unstable. From Met Office UK, solar activity very low. Geomagnetic activity after minor storms on October 26th, subsiding to quiet to unsettled on the 28th and 29th. From FK Yanda in Prague, the geomagnetic field will be quiet to active on October 27th, November 7th, and 9th to 12th. Quiet to unsettled on October 28th and 29th, November 1st to 6th, and 13th to 15th. Quiet on October 30th and 31st, and November 19th. Active to disturbed on November 8th. From the Space Environment Prediction Center, China, the planetary A index predicted down to 4 on November 3rd, up to 30 on November 7th, and down to 4 again by November 19th. 10.7 centimeter solar flux peaking at 93 on October 30th and 31st, dropping to 75 by November 11th. From SWPC in Colorado, however, solar flux steady, no higher than 72 or 70 through November 11th. Geomagnetic field unsettled to active through October 29th, November 1st, 2nd, 7th to 10th, and 15th to 17th, with G1 minor storm levels likely on October 26th and November 7th to 11th. G2 moderate storms likely November 9th and 10th, with ANK indices reaching 40 and 5. Lowest Asian Ks of 5 and 2 to 10 and 3 from October 28th to November 6th. Transequatorial FMDX is happening. Barbados was heard in São Paulo, Brazil, the evening of October 20th. However, North America is out of range.
All right, thanks a lot, Glenn. And with that, we've come to the end of this edition of the program. If you want to let us know what you think or have any ideas or suggestions or also even to let us know how you heard the show, we'd love to hear from you. Our email address is very simple. It's mnp@pcjmedia.com. Once again, mnp@pcjmedia.com. On behalf of the whole team, I'm Keith Powell. Wishing you well. We'll see you in 7 days' time. 73 and 88 to the ladies.